Good morning. It is good to see everybody who's with us this morning. I look out and see that we have several of our own who are away traveling over the holiday weekend, but we have several who are in town visiting over the holiday weekend. Those who are joining us this morning, we are so very glad to see you. You truly are an honored guest. I want to encourage everybody this morning to pick up your Bibles and follow along with the things that we'll have to discuss. Luke offers a very, very complimentary statement about the people of Berea, a Macedonian city, in a well-known passage. I want us to start this morning by turning our Bibles over to Acts chapter 17. We're going to read verses 11 and 12. Acts 17, verses 11 and 12. I'll tell you what, let's start in verse 10, just so we'll understand exactly what's happening here. Acts 17, starting in 10, says this. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. Now that's a passage that Bible students are familiar with. We know it well. It's one of those passages that many of us can quote without even really needing to turn to it at all. But I wonder, when was the last time you looked at the passage and really gave serious thought to the attributes or the characteristics described in that passage that led Luke to commend them the way that he did? I think there are four traits, four characteristics of those Jews there in Berea that we can pull out, and I think that we should pull them out. What I want to do is recommend them to all of us. It'll make us better Bible students. It'll make us better Christians. And I'll tell you this, if there is one thing this world desperately needs, it's more of the Berean spirit. Because sadly, it's very lacking. The first characteristic that I want to point out about the Jews there in Berea is this. They were free of prejudice. The passage says they received the word with all eagerness, searching or examining the scriptures daily to see if the things the Apostle Paul was preaching to them were true or not. And I want to tell you something. Prejudiced hearts aren't about to do that. Prejudiced hearts aren't about to take the time to put forth the effort necessary to go through that study to determine if something was true or if it wasn't. It's such a striking difference, a contrast, to notice the difference between those Bereans out there in a Macedonian city and our Lord's own countrymen when he was here upon the earth. I want you to turn with me, if you will, over to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to read verses 10 through 15. Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 15. Matthew 13, beginning in verse 10. This is what it says. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." Now notice this. "This is why I speak to them in parables. Because seeing, they do not see. And hearing, they do not hear.
nor do they understand. Go down to verse 15. Quoting from Isaiah about the people of his day. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed. Now think about the way Jesus is describing them. You want to see the power of prejudice? I think you can see it right there. Prejudice had taken the hearts of these people, the minds of these people, and it had erected a wall there. And they weren't about to open the gates to that wall to anything that did not accord with their preconceived ideas and their predetermined views. If it wasn't what they had always heard, it didn't matter if it was true or not. They weren't going to listen to it. And so there was Jesus putting the truth right before their eyes. And prejudice kept them from seeing it for what it really was. Prejudice is such a shameful, close-minded thing. Turn your Bibles with me, if you will, to a statement made by the wise man over in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 13. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 13. Proverbs 18:13 says this, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. And I want to tell you, the hears there is not talking about sound wave bouncing off an eardrum. The idea is hearing what someone's got to say, listening to them, considering the reasoning, considering the argumentation, considering the evidence set forth to see if what they're talking about is true or not. That's what he's saying. It's shameful to answer someone without doing that. It's prejudicial is what it is. When we think about prejudice today, one of the areas that it's most clearly seen and just kind of accepted is in the realm of politics. How rarely is anyone ever persuaded by the arguments and the reasoning of someone on the other side? And you know what? I don't think that it's always because the arguments and the reasoning from the other side hold absolutely no merit and aren't even worth considering. I think a lot of times it's because that other person happens to have a little R or a little D next to their name, so I'm not even going to hear what they have to say. You know what that is? That's prejudice. In fact, that's the definition of prejudice. Beloved, when it comes to spiritual matters, our lives must be completely clear of prejudice. It cannot be in our hearts or our minds at all. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe, as you sit here right now, do you believe that you have achieved the absolute height of biblical knowledge and wisdom? Do you believe, as you sit there right now, you cannot possibly learn anything more because you've already achieved it? The highest level a human being can reach spiritually, you've reached it. Do you believe that? There's nobody in here who's going to affirm such a foolish statement as that. But I want to tell you something, brethren. When we refuse to hear someone for no other reason than that we are prejudiced against them, the effect is the very same thing. Now, just because somebody says you are wrong does not mean you are wrong. But you know something? You might be. You might be.
And it is the prejudiced heart that says, you know what? I'm not even going to talk to you about it. I'm not even going to consider what you're saying. I'm not going to give it the time of day. I want nothing to do with you. Well, why not? I don't like what you said. Simple as that. The unwillingness to study an issue, to consider the reasoning of someone who believes that we might be wrong or need further teaching on something, is a sign of an arrogant, prejudiced heart, and it is unworthy of Christians. What is prejudice? It's a lock on the door of a heart. That's what it is. It is the mark of a mind that has stagnated and petrified. It's the reaction of one who looks upon challenge as an insult. Brethren and friends, prejudice has never saved a single soul. Prejudice has never determined the answer of any question in truth and in righteousness. Never. In fact, prejudice is the reason for what we read about in Acts chapter 19, verses 23 through 29. Let's turn our Bibles there. Acts chapter 19, verses 23 through 29. Acts 19, we'll pick up in 23. The passage says, about that time there arose no little disturbance concerning the way. For a man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought no little business to the craftsmen. These he gathered together with the workmen in similar trades and said, men, you know that from this business we have our wealth. And you see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away a great many people, saying that gods made with hands are not gods. And there is danger not only that this trade of ours may come into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis may be counted as nothing, and that she may even be deposed from her magnificent she, whom all Asia and the world worship. When they heard this, they were enraged and were crying out, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. So the city was filled with the confusion, and they rushed together into the theater, dragging with them Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, who were Paul's companions in travel. So here's a group of people coming together to scream and shout. Boy, things haven't changed much, have they? What was the problem? Prejudice was the problem. They didn't like the message that Paul was delivering. You take that and you add it with the fact that their business, the way they made their money, was being called into question. So you've got prejudice and worldly concerns. That was the problem here. There was no taking the time to sit down and calmly discuss this. There was no taking the time and saying, okay, let's consider Paul's reasoning. He's convinced many. He's persuaded many. Let's hear his arguments. Let's have Paul come in here and we'll sit down and we'll talk about this thing and we'll see if his reasoning is sound. And we'll ask him questions. He'll ask us questions. We'll respond to one another in that way. There was none of that. These prejudiced individuals just came together, ran into the theater and just started screaming. Because that's what prejudiced people do. And if we were to keep reading, we would see that Paul attempted to go into the theater. He wanted to go in there and talk about these things. He wanted to go in there and make a defense. If they had questions, he certainly had answers. And Paul's own friends had to keep him from going in there. Why? Because prejudiced hearts often turn into violent ones. And if Paul went in there, he could have been torn to pieces. And so they prevented him. What a useless and ungodly attitude is prejudice. It prevents serious Bible study and it prevents thought. One of the
One of the things people have forgotten how to do in our country is think. Really, deeply, critically think. And prejudice is one of the main reasons that's happened. But we look at those Jews there in Berea. They weren't prejudiced. Their actions demonstrate that. Brethren, we need to learn from that. Now, the second attribute I want to point out to you this morning is a very important one, especially for hearts that are not prejudiced, and that's this. They were not gullible. To be gullible means that one is easily manipulated, one is easily tricked. Now, the world is full of individuals who are not prejudiced, but who are very gullible. It's possible that many of us know individuals and we can be pretty certain their current views and beliefs will be those of the individual who got a hold of them last. Because they're gullible. They're easy to trick. They're easy to manipulate. Well, we are told that the Bereans didn't just take Paul's word for what he was saying. Rather, they searched the Scriptures daily. Was he teaching truth? Well, they were going to find out by going to the source. Was he teaching error? They were going to find out by going to the source. No, these individuals were not gullible. Three passages pretty quickly come to my mind when I consider this point. I want to look at all three of them, and then we'll discuss some thoughts after we read them. Let's start by going over to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 11 through 14. Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 11 through 14. This is what the passage says. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now notice this. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21 is a very short verse, and yet what it says, what it teaches, so important for us today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. It's an easy one to memorize. And I would encourage us all to do that. Memorize this verse. Test everything. Hold fast what is good. Test everything. Test it by the standard revealed in God's Word. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 John 4, 1 says this. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. You know, this is a mark of a heart that is free from prejudice. It does not become angry when somebody questions its beliefs. Doesn't even become angry when somebody comes up to it and says, you know what, I think you're wrong. And I want to attempt to show you now why I think you're wrong. Doesn't become angry when someone says, you know what, the way you're interpreting that passage there, I just don't think that's right. I think you're off on this. So I want to show you what I think is the correct way. I want to tell you why I think that you're wrong. Or you take this particular position on homosexuality, or you take this particular position on abortion, or any of those things. I think you're wrong on that. This is why I think that you're wrong. The heart free from prejudice, I'm not going to blow up at that. Okay, you think I'm wrong? Tell me why you think I'm wrong. You want to show me a Bible passage that you believe I'm getting wrong, that I'm not interpreting correctly? Fine. Let's sit down together. Let's do that. We'll talk about these things. You disagree with me? I'm not going to become mean to you. I'm not going to get nasty or hateful. You can disagree with me if you want to. But if you want to attempt to prove your point and you want to prove my error, there's only one way you're going to be able to do it. We're going to have to sit down together. You're going to have to open up God's Word and you're going to have to show me. Because the heart free of prejudice is not gullible. It's not just going to believe what somebody says. You can tell me that I'm wrong, but just because you say it doesn't mean it's so. And so the Berean spirit is not a gullible one. It's going to sit down and it's going to really think about whatever issue is being set forth. It's going to pray about it. It's going to meditate about it. It's going to think about it. And it's going to start and end with what God has said in Scripture. And so the Berean spirit is not a prejudiced one, but neither is it a gullible one. We would do well to learn both of those characteristics. There's a third characteristic that I think is very commendable about them. I want to point that out. It's this. They were energetic. Did you notice that Luke says of them, they searched the Scriptures daily to see if those things were so. Now, we know at that time their Scriptures were in scroll form. You know what that means? It means they had to unroll that thing very carefully. They had to find the place in that scroll. They didn't have the chapter division breaks that we have today. They had to find the place in the scroll where that thing was said, whatever passage they wanted. Find it when they were done, very carefully roll it all back up and put it away. And we're told these individuals did that every single day. Now to do that, this daily examination, this daily investigation, because that's what the word means, it requires a choice. An energetic, willing choice to make the effort and take the time to search through those scrolls on a daily basis to find the truth on these matters. Now, I suppose they could have thought, you know, Paul, knowing Paul the way we do, he had to be using Scripture after Scripture. I mean, he's just going from one to the other. And if we're going to determine if this is true or not, I mean, how many of these scrolls are we going to have to pick up? And how much time is this going to take trying to search through this? I suppose they could have said, you know what? It's just not worth the effort. I mean, he said it. He sounded confident when he said it. Fine. We'll go ahead and accept what he has to say. They didn't do that. They searched daily. And that should probably do more than impress us. I think from time to time, it should probably shame some of us. Turn your Bibles to Romans 12. Let's read verse 11. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. Romans 12, 11 says this. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. With the Scriptures available to us today in book form, and with the chapter and division verse breaks that make navigating through Scripture so easy, and with the ability to download the entirety of Scripture from most translations that are reputable for free on all of our devices, the church today should be filled with Bereans. Is it? Well, I think there are very many. But shouldn't it be all? You know, sometimes we modern Christians, we say some really interesting things that perhaps a little more thought would prevent us from saying.
We have jobs. We have families. We have obligations. We have interests. We have hobbies that take so much time. Just don't have time for the daily examination. Well, none of those things existed back in the Bereans' day, right? They didn't have jobs. They didn't have families. They didn't have interests. They didn't have obligations. They didn't have demands on their time. Is that what we think when we make those statements, that we're experiencing these things that no other time in the history of the world has experienced? Of course not. Those Bereans had jobs. Those Bereans had families. They had obligations and demands on their time. They had interests. They had hobbies. Yet they still found the time to search the Scriptures daily to see if what Paul taught was true. You know, I don't believe, and I'm saying this by looking at my own life. In all honesty, even when I've been the most busy that I've been, time has never really been an issue when it comes to reading God's Word. Interest has. Interest has. Because even at my busiest, I did find time to read books. I did find time to listen to music. I did find time to surf on the internet. Did have time to go on to Facebook, to check Twitter. I had time for all of those things. So time was never really the issue. Interest was. Energy was. And we can see that from those noble Bereans. And we should learn from it. There's one more point that I want to point out this morning. Something else that I believe makes them very commendable, and it's this. They refused to remain willingly ignorant. What Paul was teaching to them were things they had never heard before. Whenever you hear something you've never heard before, particularly in spiritual matters, it's a challenge to you. It's challenging the status quo. It's challenging what you've always believed or what you've believed for a long period of time. Well, Paul came to them preaching something that they had not heard before. How were they going to respond to him? Well, we saw how they responded to him. They received the message with eagerness. They searched the Scriptures daily to make sure those things were so. But they didn't necessarily have to respond that way. They could respond as many do, even up to today. I've never heard that before. That's challenging my beliefs. So I'm going to act like it doesn't even exist. I'm going to remain willingly ignorant of that thing. They refused, but not all have. Turn your Bibles with me, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. There's one particular point that I really want to draw out of this, but to really understand what's happening here, let's read these 8 verses. It says, "This is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles, knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation.' For they deliberately overlook this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire,
being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as one day. Have you ever noticed that he says of those scoffers, they deliberately overlook this fact? They chose to remain ignorant of something. It was a deliberate, decided decision. And it caused them to miss some of the most important considerations that there are. And then Paul said to those brethren, down there in verse 8, do not overlook this fact. Consider it. Embrace it. Don't overlook it. Don't be like those ones who are deliberately remaining ignorant. Rather, choose not to overlook God's truth. What a foolish decision to deliberately choose to remain ignorance or in ignorance. And I'll tell you this, Scripture's clear on it. Ignorance of God's Word is a choice that one makes. Because no one has to stay in that position. I don't think anybody would ever come out and say this. But I think the effect is the same in the way that many are choosing to live. I know there are things in God's Word that are going to challenge my beliefs, that are going to challenge the way that I'm acting, going to challenge the way that I behave. And I am very confident there are things in God's Word that would tell me that I'm wrong. My solution, I'm not going to open it. I'm going to deliberately choose to keep that book shut. And then when I stand before the judgment seat of God, I can plead ignorance. Who would ever say that's what they're attempting to do? And yet who would deny that's what millions are doing through their actions? What a dangerous, dangerous game to play with God. And I'll tell you what it does. It mocks Him and everything that He has said. And the end result of that is tragically assured. Turn your Bibles with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. The passage says this, Galatians 6, beginning in verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. There is no more foolish choice that we can make than deliberately choosing to remain ignorant of God's commands. Won't be able to plead ignorance as justification for that on the final day. So, let's not even try. Let's make a resolution right now to be like those Jews there in Berea. Luke said they were more noble or honorable. What was it that made them those things? They were free of prejudice. They were not gullible. They were energetic and they absolutely refused to remain ignorant of God's Word. And that tells us something about them. It tells us the most important consideration in their life was standing just before God. And that's got to be our driving aim, the thing that pushes us forward.
to be able to stand appropriately and properly before our God. So let's learn the lessons from these noble Bereans, because the world desperately needs more of that spirit in it. If you're not a Christian, you've got the opportunity right now to become one. Our prayer is that if you truly believe that Jesus is the Christ, then you would be willing to repent of your sins, as He Himself taught in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3 and in verse 5. That you would be willing to confess your faith before men, as Jesus said we must do in Matthew chapter 10. And that you would be buried in the waters of baptism, having your sins washed clean from your soul. As Jesus said, everyone who would be saved must do in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. When you do that, you take the first step out onto the road to salvation. And there is, it's a lifetime of faithful service to go from that point on. And it will be difficult at times. The Lord never said it wouldn't, but He did make this promise. The rewards for faithful service will be so much greater than anything we will ever experience in offering it. If you're subject to the call of the gospel, please come forward now, as together we stand and sing.